Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Great to be with you this morning, and we've been here at St. Andrew's in a series about modern life, and how does faith intersect modern life? How does faith inform modern life? Things are changing at a very rapid pace. Think about things like technology, social media, supercomputers that we carry around in our pockets, and it really has changed the way that human beings interact. Does the same way of talking about faith still serve? The gospel is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But can we know that? Can we get to that truth if there are so many other things in the way and there are so many distractions? And the way we talk about faith, does that have to change? I don't know the answers to all those questions. They're open-ended questions. But I do want to make the attempt. I want to make the attempt to understand how faith intersects and impacts modern life. And I think it does in many, many ways. We've talked about some of those many ways, and we'll continue to talk about them. And today we'll talk about the modern dynamic of stuff. Anybody have stuff in their life? Anybody have stuff on their counter, stuff on their table, stuff in their closet? Wow, I've just met the tidiest group of people. Not many people are fessing up to ever having stuff. But in case you do have some stuff, I know I have a lot of stuff. We're going to go back to a clip that I showed a couple weeks ago. I'm going to invite our tech to cue it up here. This is the trailer for a show on Netflix that was a surprise hit called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. Now, Marie Kondo has written a couple books. She's from Japan. She's written a couple books. I think one is something about the lightness of tidying up or something like that. And this, like everybody on Facebook and elsewhere was commenting on this book and how life-changing it was. And so Netflix released a show with her, a reality show, reality in quotes, called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. Now, I have to admit, at first blush, tidying up sounds like a horrible name for a show. Like, if I was in high school, I would never want to watch that show because my mother was always trying to get me to tidy up, and I was always procrastinating on tidying up. So initially, tidying up sounds like a terrible idea for a TV show, not a draw for me at all, except when the people in this show undergo life transformations. It's wild. She walks in, she's very soft-spoken, very quiet, doesn't talk very much, but she walks in and she basically says, throw away all your stuff, and here's how you do it, and here's how you reorganize the new stuff. And people are crying, they're having major life transformations. How can that be so? Maybe because they're free of the weight of clutter everywhere that they weren't using. Let's watch the trailer. So people are crying, people are dancing, people are laughing as they're throwing away their stuff that they paid harder, you know, that they bought with their hard-earned money. That is a very interesting phenomenon when you really think about it. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has a very careful attitude about stuff and placing our trust and security and identity in stuff, which is a perpetual temptation. Here is what he says, and you can take a look at this. It's in your bulletin. Jesus says in Matthew 6, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, what? There your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, how can we get there? How do we get there where our heart is in the place where we feel light, where we feel that lightness of being with regard to stuff? Well, let's talk for a moment about the treasures of earth, okay? The treasures of earth have to do with stuff. And like the people of Jesus' day, myself included, we tend to like stuff. Except we, probably more than any civilization in history, have more accesses and more resources to buy stuff. If you go back to after World War II, there was a petrochemical revolution, And it was a time where there were all kinds of new chemical compounds coming into being that had never existed before, breakthroughs that were made that enabled the rise of plastic goods on a new scale, exponential growth of stuff. Plastic had been invented years before, but the work done in labs had heralded new breakthroughs. And speaking about plastics in general, an article in Scientific American says this: "The story of the humble Combs makeover is part of the much larger story of how we ourselves have been transformed by plastics. Plastics freed us from the confines of the natural world, from material constraints and limited supplies that had long bounded human activity. That new elasticity unfixed social boundaries as well. The arrival of these malleable and versatile materials gave producers the ability to create a treasure trove of new products," interesting that we're used that word treasure in light of our scripture, "of new products while expanding opportunities for people of modest means to become consumers. Plastics held out the promise of a new material and cultural democracy. The comb, that most ancient of personal accessories, enabled anyone to keep that promise close," because combs had been made out of bones and other kinds of materials, and now, and probably wood, and now you could make them very quickly. And this is an important shift here that I want to highlight, and I'm sure it's not just plastics, but now that humans touch things and made things that were not natural for the first time and came up with new processes to make them quickly, we had easy and quick access to stuff. You didn't have to go to a toy store and buy a wooden toy that had to be made from hand, when now there's a machine that can pour some goo in a mold and let it harden, and all of a sudden you had a toy at a fraction of the cost. It's very interesting. We go to a toy store in downtown Frederick sometimes that only sells high-quality toys. They sell a lot of wood toys that can be handed down through generations, actually, and we've purchased some of their toys. They're expensive, and they could be around for a couple generations. They're very durable. We've purchased much more plastic stuff and other kinds of synthetic stuff for our kids over the years, and it's interesting when we put it on sale in a yard sale. You ever done this before? The good quality stuff goes almost instantaneously. People recognize the quality, and they'll actually pay for it. The stuff that we bought that was cheap, even though it had a cartoon figure on it or a superhero figure on it or something like that, or was in the form of a superhero figure, that we almost had to give it away. It was a very interesting phenomenon. People would look at it and go, "Oh yeah, that's a bunch of old plastic and now it's dirty." It actually, in the eyes of somebody in the market for something used, had no value. It had no value. It was cheap. It was discardable, and it's probably in a landfill now. It's interesting. To look at the landscape of America with America's average credit card debt and our storage problems, we have storage problems. Throughout most of the world, there is a scarcity of resources to buy things. We have the opposite problem. We have storage problems. We have to rent space to hold our stuff. And it seems like, given all this, that maybe consumption could be a pervasive mindset, or at least a habit, or kind of what everybody does. Our homes are mansion-sized by world standards, and yet it's very easy to feel as if we don't have enough room in them. Have you ever noticed that as we age, or maybe as your parents age, that they tend to retreat to one corner of the house, and they spend most of their time there? By the time when we purchased our home, which was a home built in the 1970s, it's a split-level home, and the gentleman who owned it, wonderful man, former Presbyterian, couldn't get around very well, and he had retreated to one corner of one level and had a microwave and a fridge, and he could shuffle to the bathroom, and guess what? He had all he needed. He didn't need anything else. He didn't need the rest of the home. And so by world standards, our homes are huge. And yet, we struggle to find places in our huge home to put all our stuff. How did we get here? It may be that marketing convinces us that we need to buy, and then having bought and realized often that we don't really need what we bought, or that we're only going to use it periodically, now we're hesitant to double down and throw it out, because that would be wasting the money that we've spent. You ever felt that dilemma? Well, I don't really use it very much. It's just sitting there, but I paid money for that. I can't throw it away. And in a way, now we're also wasting space. So there's a waste of money and a waste of space, and it's double whammy. And all this time along this vicious cycle, money is being consumed, and we'll feel like we need more. So what are we going to do about that? We're going to work harder. Work harder. Longer hours. Take on an extra job. Less time doing what we like to do. Less time in the space that we're paying money to on the mortgage to be in. And you know, you pull apart this cycle, and it's no wonder that people stop crying when a little Japanese lady shows up in their home and says, "Throw that out." And people start crying or dancing or they're happy for joy. Like, I wanted to get rid of that stuff, but I had to have somebody make me do it. These are the treasures of earth, and the American story around the treasures of earth is very unique. It's very interesting. And it may be a situation that invites our attention and a level of self-observation, particularly in an area where nonprofits struggle to make their budgets. All nonprofits struggle to make their budgets, and our homes are bursting with stuff that we may or may not even be using. How do we break free? My thought is, if we continue to study and implement the teachings of Jesus, we'll know. In other words, as we're practicing the teachings of Jesus, as we're walking daily in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we will know what and how much to spend and where, what to buy and how much to spend and where. If we are centered in our relationship with Christ, if we have practices of prayer and meeting with others to talk and study about faith, if we're worshiping regularly, we are anchored in a different story. We're not anchored in the story of, you don't have enough, you better go out and buy, you don't look good enough, you better buy this, you're not thin enough, you better go on this program, you're not keeping up with your neighbors, you better go buy this car. That's being anchored in a different story of not enough. But if we're anchored in the teachings of Jesus, we can say, you know what? When I wake up in the morning, it's enough. I don't need. I don't need. And I'm also going to watch my wants to make sure that they're not trying to draw me into a different story. How do we break free? We can find something better to want. We can find something better to want. Churches don't have the marketing budgets of corporations. We don't have the ability to market ourselves and entice people into church, but the treasures of life are here, not out there in the store, not out there in the store. We can find something better to want, because when our heart, when our treasure is truly with Christ in the kingdom of God, our wants are there too. And by the way, let me give you a pat on the back. You took an hour out of a busy schedule to practice Sabbath and to be here in worship. You're along the way. Congratulations. Most people don't do that in today's day and age. And you're here. You're working to anchor yourselves. I know this sounds, if you're a skeptic, like a lot of religious stuff. And I also think it's true. The teachings of Jesus are untried in large measure. There's a lot of activity out there. There's a lot of religious activity. There's a lot of spiritual salesmanship out there. And what I'm pointing to is not myself and not necessarily St. Andrews. I am attempting to point to and direct us back to the teachings of Jesus. And what does he say? Where your treasure is, there your what is? Heart is also. So the practices of prayer, the practices of worship, the practices of spiritual conversation, the practices of daily reading, the practices of Christian meditation are ways to bathe our heart in the presence of God so that we're anchored in the things that truly will serve us. Our happiness is rooted in our vertical relationship with God, not in the horizontal relationship in the world with stuff. Stuff is an amazing way to cushion ourselves against the existential reality of suffering, and that's probably a whole other message. It's a way that we comfort ourselves to say, right now, right here, I have what I want. Maybe one day I fear I won't have what I want, but right now I have it, and that's understandable. And yet, happiness isn't found there. Happiness is rooted in a vertical relationship with God through prayer, understanding the text of Scripture and the teachings of Jesus, and interacting with other human beings about them. Jesus' concept of discipleship is that it is all about being in relationship with God and doing what we are made to do, to relate, to love, to be happy, to radiate the joy of being human. Part of what Marie Kondo does, and this is very interesting because it reminds me of Jesus' ministry. Jesus sends disciples out into the world. There are a couple texts where he does this in Luke. He says, go. And they're like, go where? He says, go to the villages. They're like, okay, well, let me get all my stuff. He goes, no stuff. He said, you're allowed to take a walking stick, but you're going to depend on others for your food and your well-being. They're like, really? He does this. He does this. He sends them out, and they're light. And what is the title of Marie Kondo's book? Something with the idea of lightness in the title. What is she asking people to do? If you've ever seen the show, she asks them to pick up a thing and get a vibe from it, if you will, a gut feeling about it, and say, this either serves me or it doesn't. She uses the term spark joy. And the stuff that doesn't spark joy, people get rid of. I've done this with clothes in my closet that I should like and that I never wear, that I paid money for, and they should look good, but I just don't like them. So I gave them away, and guess what? My closet is thinner, and I feel lighter. This is the trajectory in the New Testament of the teaching of Jesus. Jesus is saying, don't rely on stuff you don't need. Rely on God. Put your treasure there, and that's where your heart will be. We root our heart in the doings, the service, the lifestyle of Jesus, and then we have a clearer idea of what we need, how much and why. And all of a sudden, the frantic consumption, the compulsive consuming, is just no longer necessary. We say, I don't need that, because the heart is happy and satisfied when it is rooted in Christ. How might your modern life and your relationship with stuff be transformed through a deeper rootedness in Christ? May your treasure be in him. Let's pray. Almighty God, we live in a society and an age where, without thinking about it, we may find ourselves consuming, 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 because that's just what we do in this day, in this modern day and age. And when we wake up to that, we realize we're tired, we're overworked, and we have more stuff than we need. And it's actually weighing us down. And we don't see one another because of the overwork. And we don't enjoy the stuff we have because of the overwork. The overwork we have to buy more stuff that we may or may not need. Almighty God, we pray that you would teach us the lightheartedness of being with stuff. We pray that we might recenter and recalibrate our lives so that you are central. We ask you, dear God, to give us the courage to get rid of stuff that we don't need so that your Holy Spirit might move more easily through our space. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.